One of the most intense political arguments of 2019 was over the so-called Medivac legislation, which the government is still trying to repeal. The bill allowed for critically ill asylum seekers in offshore detention to be brought to the mainland for medical treatment. At the time, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton claimed the government wouldn't be able to stop murderers and rapists from being brought to Australia. But today it was revealed he successfully vetoed a transfer of a man on character grounds. I spoke to the Liberal MP for Wentworth, Dave Sharma, a short time ago and put the issue to him.
Doesn't this just show that the laws are working? The minister has been able to stop somebody with his ministerial discretion and power. This is exactly what he said he couldn't do, but he's been able to do it.
Well, there are safeguards in place and he's used those and exercised those, and I'm glad there are. But I think the broader debate about this Medivac legislation when it was introduced, to go into your opening remarks, was really about the signal it was sending abroad and to the people smuggling trade and to asylum seekers about whether they could reach Manus and Nauru and find a back door into the Australian mainland. And that was, I think, at the heart of our concerns, was our security agency's views that this would send a signal that there was a back door into Australia through a medical assessment.
With respect, that wasn't the only argument used. You can say that was the main argument used, but I remember all the arguments that were used. And one of them was that murderers and pedophiles would come to Australia. The minister can stop them, can't he?
The legislation as passed was not as introduced, you'll recall, and there were safeguards that were introduced through
the minister was saying it when those safeguards still were there. I remember the timeline. They were there.
Yep. Look, I don't remember the timeline. I wasn't in the parliament at the time. I think it's important that these safeguards exist, but I still think the legislation itself is problematic.
You're right, you're not the minister and you know, you don't have to be accountable for the language that the Home Affairs Minister used, but it was actually the person who held your seat before you.
Yes.
Who was instrumental in Medivac, so it is key, given you are the member for Wentworth.
No, very
true. Yeah, that these laws look like they're effective and yet the government's arguing against them. It demonstrates that the safeguards are working, doesn't it?
Well, there is a safeguard, but I think the government's argument, and I'm of this view as well, is that the first order decision about whether someone should be coming to Australia or not should be being taken by elected officials and government ministers and national security officials. Instead, we have a first order decision being taken by medical experts in some instances that then ministers and security officials can then override. But I think it's a different scenario.
Let's move to another issue that's been big this week, and it will be big, I think, for a long time. It's sort of the story of our times, and that's this climate emergency. Do you think we have a climate emergency?
I think climate change is a serious problem. I think we need to be taking steps to address it, but I think it's far more important to be talking about what are we doing to address it rather than fixating on any particular label we attach to it.
So in that context, does it matter then? Why wouldn't you call it a climate emergency if you think it's serious, real, and it could be potentially catastrophic?
I think there's any number of things you could attach the adjective emergency to and say there's a legitimate public policy need. There's an anti-vaccination emergency in parts of Australia. You could argue that, you know, there's a Middle East emergency with what's happening in Syria and Turkey. I don't necessarily think it's helpful to go around and say everything is an emergency. I think the important thing is to have a discussion about what are you doing about it. And look, I've made this point before. There is a legitimate public policy and debate to be had about, you know, what should your emissions targets be and what should you, you know, what targets should you be setting and how much should the international community be playing a role and how much should Australia be playing a role. They're all legitimate points of debate and difference, but what nomenclature we use to refer to this, I think, is a bit of an empty debate.
But we've seen even conservative governments embrace this language. It's not necessarily...
Overseas.
Yeah, we have, haven't we, in the UK, for instance. It's not a left-right thing, is it? Or shouldn't have to be considered that. But it's been framed that way in this country. I wonder why. Do you know why?
No,
I've genuinely been trying to figure it out for years.
I mean, look, I see climate change as a public policy challenge, like many we've faced before. It won't be, you know, it won't be the last such challenge we face. It's a difficult problem because it's got a global dimension and you can't fix it nationally. And it deserves, you know, a high priority and a high degree of attention. And I think we're giving it that. I'm certainly giving it that. But, you know, it has become bedeviled by politics in Australia, unfortunately. I think and I hope we're moving beyond that because, you know, the most important thing we could have, I think, now is a sustainable policy. And by that, I mean one that captures and attracts broad public support, because it's been the changes in policy that I think have been the most frustrating thing for the public over the last 10 years in this area.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. People are very frustrated. So On the ambitions and on the targets, would you like to see more ambitious targets?
What I'd like to see is, I think we need to be credible domestically and ambitious internationally. And I think a target of 26 to 28% of emissions reductions on our 2005 levels by 2030 is credible domestically. And I think we should be more ambitious internationally, which means, you know, we need to be doing more to convince other countries around the world.
Don't we do that by demonstrating ourselves that we're prepared to cut emissions more deeply?
Yes. Well, I think we demonstrate that by showing that we're going to meet the targets that we set. I mean, there's a lot of countries around the world that, you know, either don't have targets of any significance or not ones that are going to limit global warming, or they're not meeting the targets, or they're failing to meet their targets, or they're doing things like, you know, buying credits from overseas and things like that. So I think we need to be credible domestically, and credibility is often means delivering on what you say you're going to deliver. That matters in international affairs. And then we should be investing more in trying to convince the big emitters out there. And there are, you know, people, I think, know this, but often the debate does not reflect this. Australia is not a large emitter in the scheme of things. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing our part, but us alone are not going to be able to solve this.
Oh, there's no doubt that we need an international strategy. So I wonder what your reflections are then of the Prime Minister's speech, the very significant speech I think he gave on globalism. It was very suspicious of institutions, international institutions. What's your view?
I was there for the speech, and I think the point he was making, and this is a view I'd share, is that global institutions are basically creations of the state system, and they represent the views of state bodies. They don't have any independent legitimacy from that. We don't elect the UN Secretary General. We don't elect the head of the UNFCCC. And so they need to recognise that they act with the consent of the states, and they need to reflect that legitimacy. So the best way to get global bodies to, you know, help us address these challenges is by helping to coordinate and bring states together. It's not by seeking to harangue states or say you're doing well and you're doing badly. They don't have the legitimacy to do that. And if they do that, they risk getting domestic countries and domestic publics offside. And I think that's the point the Prime Minister was making.
Your government's taken a hammering on drought this week. And you're taking a hammering now too, because Murray Watt's not coming in clearly. So, this is democracy, isn't it? I'm sure you can handle it. Do you think the government should be doing more on drought?
I think there is always more to be done in drought, and, you know, David Littleproud is fond of saying this. I mean, it's not, and the Prime Minister, as you know, uses this phrase, it's not set and forget, and it's not, you know, we're always looking at what more can be done. We're introducing legislation this week on farm household assistance. I know David Littleproud's spending a lot of time in the region, as is the Treasurer, as is the Prime Minister, and we're looking at what more can be done. I mean, we can't make it rain, and ultimately, you know, the drought is only going to be alleviated by rain, but we can do what we can to alleviate some of the hardship, to build some resilience into these communities for the next time drought hits, and to help support other needs like mental health needs in the community. So, look, I think we are doing a lot. I'm sure there is always more we can be doing, but, I mean, people should be assured that this is a very high priority for this government.
I just want to get you on some issues that, I mean, obviously you're a former ambassador to Israel. Foreign affairs has been your thing for a very long time. So just on some of those issues. And firstly, on those comments that were made by Peter Dutton last week, where he called out China and talked about, for instance, hacking. There was a sort of list of issues he raised. Do you agree with him?
I don't think it's wrong to highlight areas, if highlight problematic areas, if a state is doing something that we find unwelcome within our domestic constituents, and that's of any country. So Peter Dutton, he's the Home Affairs Minister. He's got a responsibility as the Home Affairs Minister for domestic intelligence system, foreign interference, protecting Australia against foreign interference. And I think he was making the point that if countries try to do these things, hack into government systems, use, you know, student bodies on universities to stifle free speech or free debate, we're not going to pretend it's not happening. We're not going to look the other way. We're going to call it out. And I think it's healthy to signal that this sort of stuff is off limits, because that's the only way you can have a decent relationship in the long term, is to make clear that some areas are absolute no-goes. And these are areas that touch on the very heart of our sovereignty as a nation. And so it's not wrong to say these are core issues for us, and we won't touch them. Just as China, I mean, China will say, one country, two systems is a core issue for them. The status of Taiwan is a core issue for them. We understand that and we respect that. And we should be able to expect the same of them in return.
So in that context, were you heartened to hear the Home Affairs Minister say this?
Well, I'm not heartened or disheartened.
Well, you seem pleased that he said it. Am I right?
I'm not. I mean, he was making a statement of fact, I think, and it's his job to make statements of fact and to do these things. So I don't.
But are you relieved that these statements of fact, as you refer to them, are being made? You've been frustrated that they haven't been made?
No, I haven't been frustrated, but I think our relationship with China, to state the obvious, is becoming a more difficult one to manage. And it's because of China's evolution. It's gone from being, you know, a very inwardly focused, low level of development country to being a much more outwardly focused, larger, more significant actor. So, of course, that's going to come with difficulties. But I think it's healthy for us to have a proper and open debate in Australia about these issues, because I think the public is still mired in a view of 10 or 15 years ago that the relationship is an easy one to manage. It's not. It's got its challenges, and we should be open about that.
Should there be a more coherent policy on China from the government?
I don't think. I mean, this sort of demand for coherence seems to actually be a demand for homogeneity or uniformity.
But governments do have to have a homogenous view, don't they, when they deal with foreign governments?
But we do. But it means you can't distill a relationship down to a single bullet point, you know, or a single line. I mean, the Prime Minister's fond of saying this, we have, you know, comprehensive strategic partnership with China, and we do. We have different political systems, and we do. We agree on some things, and we do, and we disagree on other things. And that's the nature of having a comprehensive relationship with a country. It's not going to boil down to a single boilerplate phrase.
Okay. ASPI's Executive Director Peter Jennings says it's in the national interest for Labor to receive classified intelligence briefings. Would you like to see that happen in this context?
I think it is important. I mean, I believe Labor, the opposition, any opposition can receive briefings. I don't know what level of classification they're allowed to receive up to. I think it's healthy, though, for the debate, the political debate, for, you know, both sides of politics to be as well informed about this as they can be, consistent with, you know, protecting sensitive information and sensitive sources as well.
Do you think with that level of briefing, the debate would change and shift?
I'm not sure necessarily. I mean, this is, you know, it's really a question for Labor, I think. I don't think our views on this are going to change. But I do think it would be, you know, it would be helpful for people to be as well informed about these issues as they can, to understand what's at stake. Because, look, this is the challenge of managing this relationship is going to be with us for decades. It's going to transition between governments of different political persuasions. So this is an area where we need to have a degree of, you know, national consensus around this.
That's the Liberal MP for Wentworth, Dave Sharma. And this is RN Drive.